to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. Let's remember all of our missionaries in our prayers. We received a letter from Brother John Green, John and Tina Green, and I left it on the front pew, but they've had some projects they finished up, sent Bibles to Burmese or Burma, and things like that. And Sister Tina is having surgery this month, and she's, some of you may not know or remember, but Brother John, Sister Tina, you know, she's confined to a wheelchair and has been for probably 30 or 40 years, I guess, the whole time they've been married, and she's having a surgery this month, and he asked for us to really pray for her. Something to do with pressure points. She's got a lot of health issues. I appreciate Brother John. I hope he'll get to come by this year. You know, he always brings Bibles. They're with local church Bible publishers and dictionaries and things like that. So let's remember them in our prayers and all of our missionaries. Exodus chapter 14, if you found your place, we'll read verses 1 through 10 to start with this morning. And I desire your prayers, that the Lord would just help us and have His way today. Exodus chapter 14. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Let's pray one more time. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today, for all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, we pray for your help. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray for liberty this morning. I pray you'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in the preaching of the Word of God. I pray you'd open our spiritual ears, our hearts. I pray that you'd help us today as only you can. Father, I'm thankful that when there's no other way, it looks like, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're able to make a way. I pray for your help right now. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we have many objects that's been mentioned this morning. You know about each and every one. Lord, I pray that you'd just help us. Lord, we're helpless without thee. And so we commit this time into thy hands. We pray, the Lord, that you'd speak to us from the Word of God, and we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verses 1 through 3 one more time, sort of start right there. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in." I think probably most everybody is at least a little bit familiar with a GPS, you know, the modern way of finding your way around. A lot of cars, new cars have a GPS on them. A lot of these smartphones have a GPS on them, or you can buy a little Garmin or things like that. I can't remember all the names of them, but they're pretty handy things to have as long as they work right. You know, I can remember as a little boy, we'd go on a trip somewhere, and a lot of times we'd get turned around, and Dad would stop at a gas station and go in and buy a map, you know. And I don't even know if you can even do that anymore, but a lot of times truck stops and service stations, they'd have a little turnaround display, and wherever you were going or wherever you were at, you could buy a map and, you know, find your way around. Or worse come to worse, you ask somebody for directions and try to go from there. But really, you don't have to do that anymore if you have a GPS. All you have to do, if you have a GPS, you just type in point A, where you are, and point B, where you want to go, and you hit enter, and a lot of times it'll give you more than one option. It'll give you three options a lot of times. You'll have your shortest route, your quickest route, and your scenic route. You get to choose which way you'd like to go. It'll tell you how many miles to get there. It'll even tell you how much time it should take, and most of the time it's pretty accurate. A lot of them will even figure in, if there's traffic, how much time that it'll take you to get there. And so all you do is just choose the way that you want to go, and you just follow that voice. And I've always wondered why, and I've said this to Kim before, why did they make the voice a woman's voice? I mean, most men have to listen all the time anyway, and then they make that. And, you know, if he could change that, I'd make it at least a man's voice. But I'll say, when we're going along, I'll say, if something doesn't go right, I'll get to at least blame it on her. You know, that woman told me to turn here or go this way or whatever the case might be. But it's pretty handy to have something like that. You follow the voice and you do it right, it'll lead you where you need to go. But if we could go back in time this morning and we could type in point A as Egypt and point B as Canaan land, this way that the Lord led them in verse number 2, the way that God told them to go and to encamp by the sea, this way would not even register as a way. It wouldn't even come up on the screen as a short route, a quick route, a scenic route, or anything else like that. This way that we read about in Exodus chapter number 14, to the human way of understanding, was actually no way to be going. The military commander, the navigator, anybody that could read a map would have chose another way as opposed to this way. This way that we read about in the Bible was suicide for the children of Israel. The wilderness, as we read here in verse number 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. Pharaoh seen the way that they went, and he said, there's no way for them to get out. They're entangled in the land. The wilderness is all around, and the Red Sea is behind them. And here comes Pharaoh behind. And so as we think about this situation this morning and the way that God led them to go, it was not a choice way to go. And I think about our Christian lives this morning. Do you ever get in a place in your life where you feel like you're trapped in? Like there's no way out? You know, what am I going to do? Here I am. I'm trapped in. There's no way out. I'm overwhelmed. And as I was thinking about preaching this morning, I thought about it. Just seems like, and I mentioned this as a prayer request the other night. I said, you know, there's always trouble. But it seems like that there's just more trouble than usual. And that's the way it was with the children of Israel. They're trapped in. They're overwhelmed by the circumstances. And it seems like there's no way out. And, you know, they go one way, they're lost and entangled in the wilderness. They go the other way, and they're in over their head. They'd had to go into the Red Sea. That's how it is sometimes. We just feel like there's troubles all the way around. I'm sure that Israel felt this way. Probably even Moses had his doubts about what are we going to do now. And Pharaoh, all of a sudden, he gets a surge of confidence. He says, boy, you know, I messed up in letting them go, but they're good brick makers, but they sure don't know how to read a map. And this is going to be easy. This is going to be like ducks in a barrel. I've got them right where I want them. They're all hemmed in. There's no way for them to get out. But as we look into this passage of Scripture this morning, I am reminded who sent them that way. You may say, how did I get here? You ought to take courage from verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and God told him to go that way. It's not that Moses chose to go that way. God told him to go that way. God is the one that led him that way. God knew what he was doing, even though it seemed at a time that there was no way out. I'd like to preach this morning on the subject, the unthought of way. The unthought of way. This is a way that nobody would think of except for the Lord. The unthought of way. And we're going to look down through here and see how God made a way when there was no way. Isaiah 43 and verse number 19, the Bible said over there, I will even make a way in the wilderness. God said, I can make a way where there is no way. Aren't you glad that we serve a God today that can make a way that when there is no way? And His ways are not our ways, saith the Lord. He thinks of things that we've never even thought of before. Let me point out about five things about the unthought of way. First of all, I noticed down in verses 9 and 10 that the unthought of way, when God leads us in it, brings about effectual prayer. Now look in verse number 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That's what I noticed what happened in verse number 10. When they seen that they were hemmed in by the enemy and there was no way out, the Bible said the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. I can just see the scene unfold before me as I use my imagination. And I'll say here, I don't even need to watch a movie to imagine what happened. I think there's a new movie coming out. I seen a commercial a few days ago, and it has to do with Moses, and I'm sure that it's wrong. I don't have to go see it. I don't have to be told about it, because God did not entrust Hollywood to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it unto us. So I'm sure that it's going to be a lot of things that are wrong with it. But if you just read the Word of God, you'll not get led astray by these things. But I can see how this takes place in my mind. Here they are, the children of Israel. The Word of God said there that they came out with a high hand. Boy, they're doing good now. They are sure that Egypt is behind them. Pharaoh has finally given up on them. He's relented. In fact, and I read this whole these whole chapters earlier this week. I mean, it's just amazing. Pharaoh, no, you can't go. No, you can't go. But on the night of the Passover, when the firstborn throughout all the land died, on the next day, they couldn't get rid of them fast enough. And Pharaoh had a change of heart. And he said, go, get out of the land. We don't want you here anymore. And so they couldn't get them. They couldn't get them gone quick enough. And so Israel, boy, they're home free. They're turning over a new page. Their days of slavery are behind them. Freedom lies before them. And they're ready to forget about Egypt. And so here they are. They're camping out by the sea. They got the fire going. They got some s'mores ready to, I mean, they're having a good time. God's been good to them. He has miraculously delivered them out of the land of Egypt and years and years of oppression. Can you imagine how good they felt about that? And somebody standing around the campfire and says, praise God, isn't this good? And they look back over the horizon, there's a little dust cloud kicking up, far off as they can see. And they get to watching and they get to noticing, and it's not long the word goes throughout the crowd, Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Can you imagine how their hearts would have sunken? Can you imagine the despair that they would have felt as they looked around and said, you know what, we're in about as bad of a place as we could be. There is nowhere to go. There is nowhere to run. The wilderness is all around. The Red Sea is behind us. We are goners. We are doomed. We are done for. Can you imagine what they would have felt like in their hearts? And all of a sudden it inspired in them an unscheduled, spontaneous, heartfelt prayer meeting among them. And that's what it said in verse 10. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Honestly, most of our prayers are not like that. Most of our prayers that we pray are at home, safe in our bed prayers. You know, we have prayer every night before we go to bed. That's pretty calm prayer time most of the time. Most of our prayers are, we go to church and maybe somebody is called on to pray, and whether it's myself or somebody else, most of our prayers are, you know, I'm praying in public, I want to say the right thing, pray the right thing prayer. You know, unless you pray out loud, you maybe don't think about it, but I you won't pray good prayer. And so most of our prayers are like that. Most of our prayers are, you know, after church, we're going to go to Cracker Barrel and we'll sit down. They'll bring our food. We'll have a little prayer. We'll fellowship. We'll eat together, maybe there, somewhere else. That kind of praying. But when's the last time you really prayed like James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Praying is just different when the cupboard is empty versus praying when the cupboard is full. There's just some things in our life bring about an effectual prayer, an effective prayer, a fervent prayer. I believe that's why our forefathers were better prayer warriors than we are. They knew what it was to pray, and look, there's no doctor to run to. There's no emergency room. God's going to have to help us right here, right now. There's nothing in the cupboard. There's no work to be had. The paycheck's not coming. I need God to help me right now. That's kind of praying that it inspired them to do. Pharaoh's coming. What are we going to do? God's got to help us right now. The effectual fervent prayer. I cannot remember any of the disciples' prayers while they're safe on the seashore. But I can sure remember their prayers when they're out on the sea and the storm's coming and the Lord Jesus is asleep and they come in the dark of the night and the winds and the waves roaring. Master, Master, we perish if you don't help us. We're going down. Effectual prayers, fervent prayers, emergency prayers. It's not a pleasant thing. But sometimes it is necessary for us to get in a place where only God can help us. It'll increase your faith. It'll help you to get in a place like that. It will help you, if for nothing else, it'll help you to learn how to pray, to learn and to know and recognize that there is a difference in the way that we pray. And it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. You don't always have to be in an emergency. But if you've ever been in an emergency and had to call out to God, you know there's a difference between the two. When they came to this place in their sojourn, they seen that God was going to have to help them, and it was all up to Him, and there was really nothing they could do. That's an effectual prayer.
the unthought of way in our lives, many times God uses that just to teach us how to pray. We need some prayer warriors in this day and time. The Word of God said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The unthought of way, effectual prayer. Number two, the unthought of way exposes weaknesses. Now look in verses 11 and 12, what the Bible says. Now remember, they just got done praying. Verse 11 said, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. Pressure and problems and persecution will cause people to say and to do things that otherwise they would not say and do. You've been around long enough to see that. I've pastored a long time now, and I've seen some of the biggest acting Christians fall all to pieces over the littlest things. Have you not seen it? Now, it's easy. It's real easy to act like you got it all together and to come to church and put on a suit and a tie and all like that. It's real easy to come in and have a big smile on your face. And, it's real easy to act the part. But you let pressure come. That's where the real test is. You let problems come. You let trials come. You let trouble come into your life. And buddy, that'll really show how big of a Christian we are. We are. And none of us are immune to it. And all of us are going to have problems. And all of us are going to find times in our life when there is just pressure and problems like we've never experienced before. Boy, it didn't take long for him, did it? Moses, we told you to leave us alone. Moses, why did you lead us out here? Moses, it would have been better to live in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness. Moses, why? Why? You know, many times, who you gonna blame the preacher? He's just following God. This is just following God's man as he followed God, but it exposed some weaknesses in their lives. Why, even Peter cursed and swore and denied the Lord when he got under some pressure, didn't he? They said, you're one of them. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. He denied the Lord three times. Don't you think the Lord allows us sometimes to get between a rock and a hard spot for our own good? To teach us the truths of the Word of God. You will never test it on your own. You'll never try Him on your own. God has to put us into circumstances sometime to prove Himself that He is who He says that He is, and He will do what He says He'll do, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Most of us never do that until we're made to do it. And when pressure and trials and trouble come, it'll show real quick just what you're really made of, just what if it's all talk or if you're really living what you say you're living. And here they are, they had just had prayer meeting. And in the next verse, what comes out? We'll not explain all of it, but worry. I read something yesterday that said worry is just a form of atheism. All it does is says we don't believe God. Worry, fear, blame. Well, if Moses would have done different, we wouldn't have been here. Regret. I wish I'd have never listened to Moses. Making bricks and eating onions and leeks and garlic wasn't too bad. Sweating in the hot sun all day, living like a slave. At least we knew we was probably going to live. Wish I'd have never followed him. Wish I'd have never come out here. Wish I'd have never got my hopes up and on and on. And all they regretted. And I'm telling you, the unthought of way, when God puts us where there's no way out until He intervenes, it'll really prove what we're made of. And so it exposes weaknesses in our lives. Here's something else I noticed. In the unthought of way, there's an encouraging message. Look at verse 13. The Bible said, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Many times we don't even receive, we don't even hear, until we get in a place of trouble and pressure and problems. Then God sends an encouraging message along. And what a great message we find here. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The only thing God's people ought to be afraid of is sin. There's nothing else under the sun that you and I ought to be afraid of. If we really believe what God says in His Word, if we really believe God's God, and God's on the throne, and God's got our back, and God's in control, and He knows everything that's going on, why would we be afraid? Moses said, fear not. Stand still. Well, they didn't really have a lot of options, did they? Stand still. That's what he said. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I like verse 14, what he said. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God said, be quiet. Quit running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Quit murmuring and fretting over this thing. Be quiet, stand still, and just see what God's getting ready to do. That's what he said. And I really like what he said in the last part of verse number 13. He said, the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, just how's that going to happen? God said, you'll see them again no more forever. Sometimes the best place that we can be in our lives is just simply to be all out of options. We don't have anything else that we can do. We don't have anywhere else that we can go. I remember it's been several years ago now. If we're not careful, we'll forget about what the Lord has done for us in the past. But I remember when we had a business and all the economy crashing all round about us and troubles on every hand. And I remember that I went home one day and I told Kim, I said, there's nothing else that I can do. It's all in the hands of the Lord. But that's a pretty good place to be. I had exercised all my options. I'd done everything that I knew how to do. You know, that's a pretty good place to be. Just where now the Lord is going to have to do something. Do you know, I've never been over there, but if the Red Sea had been like the Grand Strand, you know, the beach down in South Carolina where it just goes on for miles and miles and miles. If it had been open like that, I believe there'd been a million Jews running down the beach. Don't you? As long as we think that there's some way out, we will take that way out. We will run to the point of exhaustion. As long as there's something else to try, we'll try it. As long as somebody will make us a loan, we'll take it and try to make it a little farther. I mean, we'll try anything and everything. We'll run and go and keep going and keep running and keep trying. And there's always, it seems like, something else to try. We'll try it. We'll exhaust all the options. God just said, stand still. see the salvation of the Lord. God said, I'm getting ready to do something. I'm getting ready to do something. There's an encouraging message. I see also this in verse number 15. The unthought of way, it enlists action. They did have something to do, but they're going to have to really trust God. Look what the Bible said in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You know which way forward was? Forward was water. How are we going to go forward? They had been going forward, but they had to stop and camp because they got by the seaside and they can't go forward any longer. But God sends a message and said, here's what you need to do. Go forward. Now they no doubt had thought to themselves, quick, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can retreat. We can run back, but we're just going to be slaughtered by the Egyptians. We can try to run out into the wilderness, but that won't do any good. They'll just run us down there and kill us there. Plus, we'll get all entangled. And I mean, it's not like open land. It's rough. It's hard. We got children. We've got wives. We've got grandparents. We've got all our animals. We've got all of our possessions. We can't run and scatter through the wilderness. What are we going to do? God said, you're going to go forward. Do you know that's really the only option for the children of God? What are we going to do in these last days? Boy, Satan is all round about us. He's about to devour us. What should we do? Should we retreat? Should we hide? Should we stop doing what we know to be right and we've been doing all along? No, sir. We only got one option. We'll go forward. We'll go forward with the gospel. We'll go forward with the truth. We'll go forward with church. We'll go forward with doing what's right just as long. God didn't say go 100 miles. God said just go a few steps. Just go forward. And sometimes that's the only option you got. You're just going to go as far as we can. They were beside the sea, but they were not in the sea. Go forward, God says. I'll make a way when there is no way. Look at verse 16. God told Moses, he said, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. What he said. God said they'll go over on dry land. It's not only a miracle that God parted the Red Sea, but it's a miracle that they walked over on dry land. Their feet didn't even get muddy. It was not raining and storming upon them. When they set foot in the Red Sea, it was a walk in the park. And that's these movies get it all messed up. They portray it like there's a tornado going on. That's not what happened. They walked over on dry land. They didn't even have to knock their sandals off when they got on. I'm telling you, God made that riverbed dry as the wind blew all night long. I know how people are. I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I believe it. There's a little nation over in Israel, evidence that God did what he said, because Pharaoh would have killed them all. But there they are today, and that's not the first or the last time that God had performed a miracle on behalf of his children. God said, go through. Look at verse 18. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Say, how did that happen? The Shekinah glory of God got between the children of Israel and the enemies of the Lord. And God turned the light off on the Egyptians. And there was light among the children of Israel. And it was God that stood in between them. Kept Pharaoh from just going right down there. If God hadn't have done that, he'd have destroyed him that day. But the cloud went from before them and got behind them. Boy, I'm glad we serve a God that can get between us and the devil, aren't you? And can turn the lights out on them, and they won't know which way to turn. They got out there and they said, the sun was out when we left. We thought we'd be done before dark. We didn't even bring our mag lights. They just had to sit there and wait. They's in the dark. And God made a way. Sometimes you got to give God some room to work things out. And so God just kept them separated. They couldn't even come close to one another all night long. Verse 26, let's look on down. I like this whole chapter. It said, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came under the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. Boy, I like that. God's able. It enlists action. Fear paralyzes us. If you're afraid, you can't do anything. Faith energizes us. When they got up that next morning, they seen God had made a highway through the Red Sea. Do you think it was hard on them to take that way? No, sir. God made it so plain. God made it so easy. I just think about in my mind that if you'd have went down there and it'd have been muddy, and the first one or two had marred up to their knees, they'd have said, I don't know if I'll try this or not. But they went along and they said, hey, this is all right. This is dry land. And they just all passed over all day. And they got to the other side, and the Bible says that God looked back through the cloud. And Moses lifted up his rod again, and the water came in. And their wheels, you read the whole chapter when you get home, their wheels begin to fall off their chariots. Things begin to go bad for the Egyptians. Let's read at least one verse. Look back in verse 25. And took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee. Boy, isn't that a blessing? Let us flee. I think we're the ones that needs to turn around and hightail it. They looked around all of a sudden, seen that water on every side, and their wheels is coming off, and they said, boy, we'd better get out of here. Let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Isn't that a blessing? Faith energizes us. It enlists action. And last of all, let me show you one last thing. Go down to chapter number 15, the unthought of way. When God makes a way when there is no way, it elevates praise. The Bible said in chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God. And I will exalt him. Chapter 15 is the song of Moses that they sang when they came and God delivered them from the Egyptians. You go on over in verse number 20 and you see Miriam and the maidens there and the women, and they went out with timbrels and with dances. Verse 21, and Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Man, they just had them a time praising God and thanking God for all that he had done for them. When God does something for you, don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to thank him. I was thinking this week is an anniversary week for me, and for you as well here at the church. But 4 years ago, I had gone over to the Jubilee at Dyson Grove. And we just come through a hard time personally as a family. You ever been through one of them times and you just get through and you're just exhausted mentally and physically and spiritually, and boy, you just need some help. And I remember I went over that meeting and I just wanted to get, you know, some spiritual batteries recharged. And I remember Brother Leonard Fletcher, he talked to me that week. He said, "Have you ever thought about going back on the radio, the old past broadcast?" He said, they've lost some good preachers and they need some on there. Have you ever thought about that? And boy, I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart that week. The theme of the whole week, and they had a big old banner behind the pulpit. And I went several days and I hadn't even noticed it up to that point. But the banner they had and the theme of the whole meeting was the old past. I went back in there and sat down after I talked with Brother Leonard, and I seen that thing for the first time. God said, "That's what I want you to do." And in my prayer journal, I've got a little note. It says 11-3-10. That's the date. November the 3rd of 2010, I wrote in my prayer journal, "The Old Paths Broadcast by Faith." It's been 4 years ago now. God put us back on the radio, and I praise his holy name for that. I told Kim the other day, I said, most people probably do not know how much work goes into the radio ministry. I spent Monday getting ready for Tuesday and Monday night getting ready, and Noah come over and help me, and we have to get a couple of weeks ahead if I go out of town or anything. Then I had to broadcast on Tuesday, and then I went back Friday night and made broadcast for this coming Tuesday where we'll be out of town, and there's a lot of work goes into it. But I'll tell you what, I love it. I thank God for the opportunity, but God had to take me the unseen, unthought of way to just get me back where he wanted me to be. And I went to school last Thursday night. And that's another thing God allowed to come back into my life. I appreciate church. You allowed me as your pastor to take the time. It takes a lot of time to teach in a Bible institute. But I went over there the other night and one of the students came up to me and he said, "I found your website," and he said, "I've listened to all your teaching on the Bill of Rights." And my mouth dropped open. That's not one or two. That's like 12 or 16 weeks he'd listened to. I said, "You listen to all that?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "As soon as I get done, I'm going to listen to the rest of it that you taught on the Constitution." He said, "I'm learning a lot about that." He said, "That's exactly where we are." He said, "Everybody needs to know what's going on." I said, "Brother, I wish I had a prize or something to give you. I can't believe you listened to all that." But he'd come and got on the website, and he travels and he'd downloaded and been listening and listening and listening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When God does something for you, make sure that you praise him and thank him, and don't ever forget. I notice all throughout the Bible, it comes up over and over again. God said, "Remember what I done? Remember what I done?" Read the book of Psalms. What's the theme all the way through? God brought you through the Red Sea. God delivered you from Pharaoh. God brought you the unthought of way to get you to the other side. You might be this morning, you might be at a Red Sea crossing in your life. Maybe you've just come through some trouble, and now you find yourself, it looks like you're just getting ready to go into more trouble. Or maybe God's getting ready to make a way where there was no way. Sometimes it's how you look at it. Whether we cry and go to Moses and say, I wished I hadn't listened to you, or we say, boy, God must be getting ready to do something. God's brought me the unthought of way, and there's no other option. God's got to do something. The unthought of way is not a way that God has not thought of. It's just a way that you and I would never think of. But God's got a way to make a way when there is no way. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Maybe you're there. You say, I need some faith. I need some direction. I need some opening in the sea or something. Something God's still doing. He's still doing what He's always done in the past, and that is just be faithful. And He does not change. Boy, I praise Him for that. I'd like for us today to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and